You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Was not from California, for the record, all right? But we accept him as an implant, all right? A lot of implants in California. The joining us for the first time ever, you've heard a lot about him, and now you get a chance to meet him, is none other than another California native, which is why the music, Napa Man. Napa Man's here. So what's up there, Napa Man?
And we're back! Taking you all the way back to 1995. I've been a long-time listener, and finally get to contribute, at least for a few minutes here. It's an honor, sir.
There you have it. Napa Man. All right, and also joining us, he's not a California native, but he would like to be. He's from the state of Washington.
He's a Washingtonian.
Yeah, we're not going to talk about football because Luke and I are 49er fans. F-18 man Kurt Knowles is a Seahawk fan, and so that just is not a good thing to do. We don't even go there.
We're 4-for-5.
What's that?
Counts. In Super Bowls?
Oh, yeah, that. We used to be 5-for-5. We're 5-for-6.
No, you're right. We're 5-for-6.
What did I tell you about keeping the microphone close to your mouth?
Sorry about that.
Yeah, you want to sound like a little kid?
Just move it away and you can sound like a little kid.
You put it close and you sound like a man.
Grown man.
Exactly. Kurt Knowles is with us. What's up?
What's up, what's up? Hey, don't you guys keep talking smack because Richard Sherman decided to go play for somebody else. So
he did. He's joined... I don't know how that's going to work out for everybody.
this is a building year for the Seahawks. It's a building year. Oh, I don't, because you know now Cam Chancellor's out because he's too much high risk with his neck. So I don't. I think it's going to be a building year for the Seahawks. So, yeah.
A sigh of relief let out by the collective wide receiving core of the NFL.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you. That doesn't bother me very much that it's going to be rebuilding. I mean, over the course of the last how many years, they have annihilated the 49ers. And so I'm not sorry about that at all. How did you become, you are Napa Man, so everybody should understand that you did grow up in Napa, yes? Napa, California, wine country?
I did. Hotbed of Marine Corps recruiting.
Not so much.
Oh, absolutely.
Chesty
Poehler.
Is not from Napa. But CC Sabathia is from pretty close.
He's from Baytown.
Same area code, yes?
Yep, 707. CC, dominant athlete, I believe the class of 2000. That's after me, but that's when my brother-in-law went to Vintage High School in
Big
Napa,
Larry.
California. And, no, Sam.
Sam.
Gulf 2-5.
Ooh.
Yep, Gulf 2-5.
Golf or golf?
Golf.
Oh, okay.
Golf. No, public schools.
There's a difference. the Napa public school system phonics right there on
That's
display.
Right.
All right.
Yep.
All right. So you're a Napa kid, and we were having a little argument, your son and I, on one side recently about some rap music, and you were on the other side, and you went down history lane like the guys who laid down the first tracks in Paleolithic times. You start throwing out names.
How does
a kid from Napa become a rap guy?
If you study the game at all, you'll know names like Kool Moe Dee, Big Daddy Kane, and these are the guys who came after, you know, the Sugar Hill Gang and Grandmaster Flash and all that. Those are the trailblazers, and then you got guys like Run DMC, Kool Moe Dee, Big Daddy Kane. Those are the guys who, my opinion, if it matters, they pushed the ball down the field a little bit to the point where you got guys like your guys, Post Malone, you know, Drake, Drizzy.
I'm not so much. I don't mind Drake because he sings with my girl Rihanna.
Yep,
so
your girl.
I'm big about
right.
that. Yeah,
You've
I'm
been
not
pretty consistent with her. Yep, Rihanna.
Oh no, I'm Riri. I'm all over. But this is a Post Malone. So this is the song we were having.
This came out of nowhere. I wasn't expecting this side of Mac. He's
everyone's what Napa yeah. Man underestimates me. We're in Afghanistan, yeah. And I'm playing a little. Who was I playing that day?
That was probably Nelly.
Nelly. I'm playing.
It
Nelly.
Wasn't. You weren't playing it. You were
Pardon
firing
me?
It.
Yeah. It was.
There's a difference.
I have a set of Bose Expeditionary speakers, and I was not afraid to release some stress.
Playing some information operations for the Taliban to hear, and
exactly.
They were trying to pick it up. They had their big ear. They had like that big buck, something you buy at Gander Mountain to pick up, you know, stray prey that are running around out there. They got a big ear out there, and they're picking up Nelly from Tent 3 on Camp Dwyer.
But Napa Man comes in and he looks and he's like, "Mac, I'm not right here, Frank Sinatra. You're rocking Nelly. What's up?" So yeah, but this song,
the 808s were kicking.
Yeah, that's about your girlfriend, dog. But it's a great melody.
Yeah. This is a great song. It really is.
It's called Rockstar.
Yeah,
but see. And so, in this conversation, what I'm telling Luke is,
I've been fucking hoes and popping pillies, man, I feel just like a rock star.
Whoa.
The Marine lyric's going to be something like, I've been whacking moose, eating at the chow hall, dealing with my black blood. So the song that would change to black blood. And I have these lyrics that come to me when I'm out with my dogs. And when I mean my dogs, I mean like your canine dogs, not my like dogs. So Lucas was Napa Man was.
And I'm trying to use my connection to get him linked up with Dr. Dre.
Post.
And then it's gonna fire off from there.
Yeah. That's his song actually. So the question is, how's a kid from Napa? Like was your dad
Dad?
How would you describe your dad politically? He's in the midst of Napa. He's a like liberal Democrat.
He's always been fairly conservative, although I'd say affected by the 60s and 70s. His dad, very conservative, retired Navy. And then my dad goes to San Jose State, 64 through 68. So there's a decent amount of stuff going on in San Jose State.
Home of the Spartans.
Spartans, exactly.
Yeah. So San Francisco State, S.I. Hayakawa, very, very famous at the time. They were like, it was on before your time, obviously.
Probably,
but
yeah.
I was rolling around 10, making All-Stars in Little League at the age of 10. What's up? Shout out to Parkway Little League. I said no to Parkway Little League because I wanted to go to Disneyland. I'd never been, and the A's were playing the Angels, and my family's going to Disneyland. And if I played All-Stars, I wouldn't have gone. So I was like, hey, I'm 10. I'm on this All-Star team with a bunch of 12-year-olds turning 13. I'm not sure that I can handle it socially, so I'm like, I'm out. I'm going to Disneyland. I'll be back. Don't worry about it. I'll be back. I got 2 more years to lead this tribe.
There you go.
So I punched out and went to Disneyland. I got teased about that a little bit. So. So now, just so you know, we all work together in Afghanistan, and we're here for the change of command. And so Napa Man just flew in, but you've been on family vacation.
Family vacation in central to northern Minnesota. You hear that accent for a second there?
Yeah, Minnesota.
But, it's about 3 hours north of Minneapolis. Gun Lake, heaven on earth. A little bit of weather. There's going to be some weather there from time to time. But it's in Aiken County, and it's kind of bald eagles, fishing, water skiing.
Literally
bald eagles. Oh, yeah. Fish.
Have you seen one?
All the time. Every day.
Amazing. They're amazing. Yeah. They're first of all, they're huge.
They're majestic.
Yeah, you think it's is that an SR-71 or
no? It's
that?
Like hide the babies because it's capable of ripping some.
They have some talons, some serious
some
talons.
Pounds off the ground.
Yeah, and you see him circling like, where's Jack?
Where's Jack the dog?
He's gonna get his airborne quals here pretty quick.
Yep.
The okay, so where did you get the and we're So we would be working in Afghanistan, and kind of like out of the blue, you know, you're in a combat operations center, and from the back of the room, you would hear, "And we're back!" And so, first of all, where did that come from?
Well, you kind of
Did you say it all the time?
Well, I think the more I got used to you, the way you ran the COC like you run your show. So you,
what does that mean? Like,
well, if you give me a moment.
Okay.
If you give me a second here.
We're gonna do it like that today.
I don't know if I'll get invited back on. So
you're invited anytime. You're in the club.
So you've talked about it on the show, but there's some ebbs and flows based off of enemy activity, our operations. Taliban operations, that you can go from a high, some connectivity, a lot of activity going on, to 30 minutes of kind of like, hey, there's, you know, it's quiet, and it's a good thing for it to be quiet, but then there's a time to kind of snap everybody back in to the game, and I took that from you, but when I found out that you were a public speaker and radio personality in the Dakotas, I was like, oh, here we go. So I always wanted to do something like that, and I wasn't on the radio, but hey, if I can, you know, and morning radio is like the best because you just get some people wired on coffee and some Red Bull and just spinning some classics, and the next thing you know, like they've, you know, they're the most interesting people in the world.
Okay, now you have to. So that's where "And We're Back" comes from.
And we're back. You're fighting it on the 405. I'm fighting it here, but I've got Jerry Lee Lewis. And then it's just whatever.
You wanted to say that for like most of your life.
And so I said it probably 300 times.
No.
When we were over there,
it
no
was more than that. Oh, 300 is conservative.
See, yeah.
Some days he would be.
It wouldn't go over as well during the night shift, like.
Never.
We're back, and then the COC would just stare at me like, "What?
What's up
hey,
with that?
Easy."
Yeah,
easy
wolf
there.
Would look, turn around.
The wolf would be an
evil
yeah.
eye. Like.
Yep, that's right.
So, there's another part of your behavior that I wanted to address, especially while we have Rudy with us today.
My tenacity?
No.
Professionalism?
No.
Close order drill.
No, not even when you were tanning. No,
oh,
I want to talk about tanning.
Shut up. not going there.
We
didn't sign.
We're talking,
there was no
non-disclosure agreement.
No
signed. NDA.
No NDA was signed. We talked about, you know, hey, we're gonna, you know.
What about the explanation for? I would go, because you never did, go buy club crackers and peanut butter and jelly at the PX.
I had a healthy resupply situation from the States in the form of care packages from loved ones and friends. And
I don't recall a hefty amount of club crackers or peanut butter or jelly arriving. I remember you feasting on the stuff.
A lot of crackers.
But I don't, so what would happen is I go buy it, and I tell him, hey, Napa man, there's stuff down, and it was the drawer at his desk, and he's like, all right, Mac.
Yeah.
And then I would come back, like, a day or two later, and I'd, like, get hungry, and I'd go look.
You'd expect certain things.
Yeah, and I'd be in the drawer, like, where did they go? And I'd look at him, and he'd be sitting there with his, like, trying not to make eye contact, and I'd say, he said, "Mac, we've had some situations. We've had some situations that you haven't been around for."
Ask Rudy about them. They were heavy.
So, are you an emotional eater? So you go through things, and
I would say I'm a non-emotional eater in that I'm not even aware I'm doing it. Sometimes that'll just happen.
Psychosomatic eating.
Yeah, just, you know, it's like a great white shark. You know one thing, and if it's in front of you, it's probably going to be gone. It doesn't matter what it is. Rudy and I, we've been here an hour together, and he's saved me from at least three or four bad food decisions already.
Already?
Oh, you looked outside. It's for a guy like me, you know what. This is like a heart attack waiting to happen for me. I'll be lucky if I get back to California.
This So what's the food like in Brainerd? I mean, at the lake or is good?
That's
normally pretty good eating.
Hey, this is a true story. This happened last night, so this is kind of the culminating event of our vacation. We go into Aiken. We don't want to mess the cabin up. We've been washing dishes, doing all that stuff. We don't want to mess anything up, and we're out of food. So we got to go get provisions, go into town.
Seems to be a theme in your life.
Yeah.
There's no food.
Hey, I don't want to – let's not paint a – we got to have a follow-on segment that paints a different side of me. I'm not one-dimensional.
All right.
But this is a big dimension of me, I guess. And so we go to Aiken, and it's small-town Minnesota. Awesome, awesome people. We go to the 40 – can I say a business name on the show?
Yeah, you can say anything you want. You're from NASA.
The 40 Club. The 40 Club in Aiken. If you haven't been there, go there. Great food. And – you know, we're all looking Californian and like we've been living on the lake for, you know, a week and a half. And we walk in at, like, happy hour in Aiken, Minnesota. And these are folks working their, you know, working all day long. And I can't really find the entrance, but I got my whole family with me, two girls, my son, and my son's buddy. So we're rolling deep with six. My wife's with me. And we're looking like we just came off the lake. And we roll into the 40 Club, and it's the bar, because we can't find the restaurant side of it. It's like a big, you know, building, but it's kind of, you know, we're not familiar. And we walk into it, and we get two steps, and it's like a Clint Eastwood movie, a Western, where everybody just swivels onto you, and it's like, some of these folks don't look like the other ones, and it was us. It was me. And usually I can break the ice with a little joker, hey, you know. Anybody seen Bill or you know, something like that? And anyways, I was like, you know what? I don't think this is a time for me to break up with some jokes here. I'm just going to turn around and pretend like we're gotten the wrong. Finally, the bartender's like, hey, you're good, you're good. The restaurant's in the back. I was like, oh, okay. Come on, kids, let's go. Anyways, best walleye sandwich I ever had was last night at the 40 Club.
I've said this on the show before, but if you're from California, you may or may never have eaten walleye. It is some of the best eaten fish you'll ever.
Yep.
Chilean sea bass, salmon. And
I could have had two.
Put walleye up there.
Yep.
That's all? Just two?
Just two.
Can you do
time
the,
was the time
you know,
was
I was
the
talking limit. To Rudy a little bit ago, but can you do the Cylon check-ins for everybody? Come on. Just a weird, talk about the fascination with the Cylon check-in.
That was two-dimensional. Is one, well, part of the Cylon was the female pilot, correct?
Oh, you're asking me?
I was
just enjoyed the entertainment.
Yeah.
Actually, Navman does some moderately entertaining stuff. He refuses. He's only done it once for me, and he's, I think, a little bit embarrassed about it now. Yeah.
It can't be recreated.
He did this impersonation of an osprey in the movie Red Dawn, and he was playing all parts in this little drama, and it's like spontaneously combusted, and it was one of the greatest moments that I had personally in Afghanistan. But I tried to get him to recreate it because he makes his face look like kind of an osprey, and then he holds his arms out, and his arms are bent at the elbow, and that's the osprey engine, if you will.
Yeah.
And then he rotates the palm of his hand like north and south to give you the cant of the engine, and then he's doing narrative, and then all in the middle of it he slips into Red Dawn, so he pulls his green T-shirt like most of the way over his face. He starts yelling Wolverines. That was
that
quality.
Might have been for Terminator.
That was quality entertainment.
That was based off of a weird situation in Nawa, if you remember, where, am I allowed to bring this up? This isn't classified, but someone had Taliban had interrupted a landing. Right.
Well, first of all, let me just give a little background.
It was on G-Boss.
Grunts can get shot at, can get wounded, but no aviator is supposed to get shot at. When an aviator gets shot at, it's like a serious situation. Right? It's like we all don't die equally.
LZs have their own color codes and category.
And this particular incident was like, a big deal.
Well, and we were still like, okay, the Osprey, you know, great platform. Which one do you want to ride on? Oh, I'll take the Sea Stallion anytime.
Well, then remember we were watching it, and the pilot he overshot his target.
He overshot.
He overshot the target. We're like, and then you see the impact from the rocket propelled grenade, like.
Yeah.
It hit right behind the.
What got my head going about the Red Dawn stuff, though, was like we were, you know, it was the whole, okay, all right, here's your immediate action drill as the pilot. And we were just, I was kicking you. I was like, okay, how long is this immediate? Why can't he get this thing in the sky?
Yeah, yeah.
So now we're going vertical with the nacelles and everything going on.
Well, no, but if you kind of take your fingers and do the Osprey engine thing, when you go from. Your engines are pointed horizontally, so your rotors are straight forward. You're hauling ass, right? Well, then they transition, and then you come in, all right, and now you're trying to be a helicopter. Okay, let me just tell you, they suck as helicopters. So a helicopter flies Napa the Earth, CH-46, my favorite, right, bombing. Then they flare it right in front of the LZ and stand it up on his back legs, and then boom, you're down. You get out and go, Osprey. Whoa. So he's overshoots his own.
He overshot.
Exactly. The RPG gets launched, and then boom, and immediate action drill. Put your fingers in your ears, boys, and because this thing is going slow and it's not transitioning, and it looks like it's on a parade on Constitution Avenue. Like
it's just call sign brownout because that's what's happening. It's just browning out the G-Boss, all the aerostats in the area.
Well, then we were saying the crew chief in the back was like, "We just had a rocket from L grenade hit," and the pilot was like, "What?" Get out of here!
Get out of here!
Then they got transitioned to
3.5 minutes later. It elevates off the ground,
and we're just sitting there watching it go. And then we had the video. It was like, hey, check this out. And then the reaction comes. What up? And we almost had an Osprey get shot at. Well, yeah. I don't want to like break any eggs or anything, but there is a war going on here. Just for everybody, are they not supposed to get shot at? No, damn it, they're Ospreys. You know what's going to happen if we get one of these sumbitches shot out of the sky? Everybody's going to get in trouble. I'm not. My dog ain't in that fight.
I'm on the video distro, but I'm not liable.
Yeah, so that's where
meanwhile, the whole battalion's in a movement to contact, sweeping the
guys are getting wounded. We're medevacking people. It's like, well, whatever, okay, but let's back to the Osprey. Let's not lose focus here.
What?
And they wonder why we hate him. Anyway, so that's kind of the background, a little bit of background. And then the Cylon thing, it was part the female voice. But the female voice wasn't the only voice.
She was...
What is Cylon, anyway? Just for
it's a call sign. I'm out of my land
Rudy,
here. Are these tornadoes? What are these? These are fixed-wing, fast-movers.
No. They were the Cylon was the British helicopters that we used the radar for to scan the ground. And so they would be the Cylon would give us the...
You need to take me off the air, Mac. I just went rotary wing on a fixed-wing. Shut me down.
The British helicopter. So they would. That was their call sign, and they were doing the radar analysis for us on the ground, as watching the movements, and then...
The initial check, we were talking about, it was one of those lulls in the situation where the initial check
was... But what's
was,
a Cylon, though? I mean,
I don't know what it is.
What were your
call signs?
Call like,
sign.
Mad Dog 5-5.
Rattler.
Like, yeah, that Rattly.
Devil.
The C-130s are the best, though.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Phil, Thrasher, Basher.
Yeah.
Basher, Winchester.
Dirty Sanchez, 2-2, checking out on station. Whoa.
Like, AC-130s over Fallujah. Basher Winchester at this time. We just Winchester the AC-130. Like, whoa!
Yeah, I thought those things cubed out before the, wait, what?
So you didn't even know which their platform Cylon
No,
was?
So I'm kind of in shock right now, because I always thought that was a fast mover. For some reason, I thought that was more interesting if it was a fast mover, because don't know. I just saw them like moving in fast and close air support, dropping some bombs.
Aviation fantasy going on.
I don't know.
And then, but the female part of this is so you know you're working and there's no women around. I mean, there's very few women around. There's a few, but there's no women around. All of a sudden, and you these radios are on. And all of a sudden, a female voice comes out of the blue.
Saigon 3-4, checking in on station.
And everybody does the same thing. Ooh.
What?
Yeah. And then, like, somebody watches, some guy walks into the room and starts talking. And I, because I have tact, I'd say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear a male voice as long as she's talking, okay?
But then she talked. She did, like, initial check-in. And then we were all, like, ears. Boy. Yeah. Like, most interesting thing is happening.
Her speaking words.
Yeah. And then Cylon 4-0 checks in, and he just starts stomping on her.
Cylon 4-0 checking in on station as well. I have the lead, tally-ho. Cylon 4-0, I will be taking all comms over. Who am I checking in with? Air.
And then it was just like, what? And then we were like kicking Rudy. Rudy, what? Get him off the net. Who is that?
Cylon 4-0 with an armament of 500 pounds. We've got consistency on both wings.
See, that messes that up because I thought it was always a fast mover.
Yeah, man.
I have radar capabilities on both pylons. Time.
You guys are back there like telling me to get him off the radio. He wouldn't stop. He wouldn't stop talking.
He went long format, like on the check-in. I mean, our guys are like boom, 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 and you're
okay,
like,
okay, you. Tell everybody, do a check-in, the normal American F-18 check-in. This is Rudy, call sign Rudy, with the normal F-18, because he's a fighter pilot, check-in. Go ahead.
All-weather fighter pilot.
Attack.
No, I think that you just check in with your standard call sign. If, you know, like, say, Siege 1-1 checking in, you know, you'd give your armament loadout.
Just do it. Come on, do it.
I don't. You'd have to read it off the card real quick. I mean,
you
I don't know.
Just make one up.
2 GB-212s, 500 rounds, time on station, 0 plus 45.
Boom, and he's out.
Okay, do a Harrier now. Time on station.
Time on station, for a Harrier, yeah, much less, like 30 minutes.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Whole Harrier community affronted.
It wasn't 30 minutes, 15 minutes, Mac. Did he say 15 minutes? Yeah, thank God we bought that piece of shit. So Rudy just did a normal check-in. And the Cylon guy would go.
Cylon 4-0, checking in on rotary wing aircraft. You're familiar with the platform, I'm sure. Tinted windows on the left side due to the sun is cresting in the west. And we've got armament. No weapons, apparently, but we do have side door gunners, and they are nifty. And the pylons are loaded with the top-of-the-line radar, ground sensor penetrating. Any more questions for Cylon 4-0?
No, we got a question for Cylon. Who was the other one? 3-7?
3-9.
3-9? We're going to need to hear that.
Yeah, so could you go ahead and put yourself in check there, big boy? Where is Cylon 3-9-er? Over?
Oh, my God.
Oh, it was awesome. And the Marines are just howling, okay? They're howling. And then the dude that wants to ask a question, he's just standing there. And he gets it. He's listening too. He's loving it. Like, yeah, I always thought the COC sucked, man. This is a comedy show in here. Cause our COC was. In fact, Brock, there was like this, we had this first lieutenant who's a logistics officer. And he was like the 4 Bravo, right? The 4 Alpha was, what was his name? He's a baseball player.
Yeah, South Dakota, right? Oh, come on.
North Dakota.
North Dakota, yep.
Why are you dissing me like that?
Shoot.
He's a good dude. So he's the 4 Alpha. Brock Schiller, prior enlisted guy. He's a first lieutenant, right? He looks like Wesley Fox's younger brother. And he comes in and he takes like, sir, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I said, yeah, it's this. Now he's a first lieutenant, so we expect that guy, right? And the dude was locked on. He would take care of something and he'd come back and say, hey, sir, I took care of it and then coordinate with this guy. They're going to move him here. This guy's notified to provide lodging. This guy is going to make sure that he's locking on follow-on transportation. I'll call him back and make sure I confirm all that stuff is actually done and I'll report to you. And you're like,
you would have no questions.
You're a lieutenant, or are you masquerading as a lieutenant? You're a lieutenant colonel, right? That's young, and so you just put on first lieutenant bars, and that's what we're doing here? No, sir. And I'll be, you know, he laughed, chuckled, and then he'd leave. Like, who is that white dude?
What's that Batman?
Yeah, who is that Batman?
Bring Batman back.
Yeah.
Bring back the Batman of logistics and have him explain.
Go get me Superman, okay?
Yeah.
And so Brock is now a major, but he was locked on, and he was emblematic of, we just had great Marines, or for whatever reason, by hook or crook, probably a lot of it by coincidence of assignment, but he was awesome. And so he was at this party last night, and he made the comment. He said, you know, sir, he said, I probably, it's one of the hardest years I've ever worked, and it was, you know, we did a lot of fighting, so it was tough. He said, but you know what? I laughed my ass off more than I've ever probably laughed during a deployment or in my time in the Marine Corps, because that was a pretty funny place. And you know what? And he and I had a conversation about it once. I said, just so you know, it's not by accident. A year is a long time to every day. Your job is to help kill people and to help save people. And so I said, you know, look, when you're laughing, you're not thinking about that other stuff, and it helps it breathe. I said, so, you know, and Brock's not a very funny guy. He's kind of a dry humor guy. He's one of those guys. He's one of, like, some really smart dry humor guys. It's like, and the world needs them, okay? But somebody's got to pull the – so we need some humor Clydesdales out there pulling the wagon. And so, no, but it was his comments were funny. He said, no, so I'd come in and hang out there and just laugh my ass off at some of that stuff.
Pretend like you're reading all the charts of the, you know, all the stats, you know, we had that thing filled with all sorts of information that's all over the place, and you're just trying to catch a little levity.
Yeah, exactly. No, we would do briefs, and, you know, people would cut the briefs that we would do our turnover briefs because, I mean, that was all the latest information about the AO, and they were pretty tight briefs. They were good. They didn't take very long. We made sure of that. And but there was always some, if there wasn't anything too heavy going on, there was always a fair bit of levity, as long as I was in a good mood. Because if I wasn't in a good mood, there was going to be none of that. Because that's the way things work, right?
That's right.
So anyway, but there was one other question. Again, it wasn't about the tanning.
You asked how I got interested in the Marines or serving from Napa. And that's an easy answer.
I never asked that.
Oh, I thought he did.
No.
Rudy?
No, I asked you how you interested in Tupac being a white boy in Napa liberal.
That's a better question.
Thank you.
I can tell you exactly when that happened. Coming back, basketball game. We're playing Robert Louis Stevenson in St. Helena.
Who's about to spin in his grave right now?
Yeah,
when he gets connected.
When he gets connected to Tupac
and Dr. Dre.
A buddy of mine, one of the only other guys who joined the military after high school in 1993. The guy went to my rival high school. We went to middle school together, and he joined the Air Force. Smart guy, joined the Air Force under a crash fire rescue program, enlisted, spent 3 years as a fireman up in like Eielson Air Force Base, Alaska. And now he's a fire chief in San Jose. Awesome plan if you're interested in that.
Yeah, low risk, high leverage.
But anyway, he introduced me to a song called "Boys in the Hood" by N.W.A. And he had one of those Walkmans, you know what I mean, with the cassette thing. Rewind it again, more. And that was like, what is this? And then I got interested in all that. I was into all music, but Rap was
your thing.
Yeah.
So what did your father think? I mean, your father, Luke's dad. I mean, he and Luke's mom and dad are like the only two people in Napa that are Republicans. They man like the. What do they do at the county fair? My mom's in the
Napa County Fair. She's in the Republican. And the Republican women, and she's not afraid to get out there.
But they'll man the booth,
yeah,
right? And then
yeah.
They're talking to all the. Would you like some information at the Napa County Fair? Not too many. No, I'm good.
I'm good with that.
I'm good. Yep. And your dad's a big guy, and he's in the booth too.
Yeah, I wouldn't be, you know, playing Tupac or any of that around the house or anything.
Oh, you wouldn't?
Oh no. That was a secret cassette.
stashed
under
the
somewhere
under the mattress.
Yeah.
What about now? Also, one of the other interesting little stories, because Luke does like food and likes eating. I've never heard him talk a whole lot about cooking. I have heard him talk a lot about eating, which is interesting. But anyway, in fact, Colleen and I went to dinner at the McConnell House recently, and Luke is serving these gargantuan steaks.
Oh, yeah.
And so Colleen's talking to his daughters, and Colleen says something like, "Does your girls, like, God, those are giant steaks." And they say, "Yeah, my dad likes steaks."
I do like steak.
And Colleen started laughing, and one of your daughters says, "It's the third time this week we've had them." I was like, whoa.
Ooh.
That's a little
cholesterol. You know, I don't count.
Little cholesterol situation your daughters do.
But I don't do the stats. I didn't know they did.
Yeah, they're collecting.
Let's see. Cube steak, New York steak, and then the ribeye. So that's the trifecta. So that's the batting order. Yeah. We recalibrate with a good cube steak. To get us, you know, it's lean though, Rudy. Don't judge me. 85-15, that's a good cube steak. Not like the ones our parents served us. Those were hard on the heart. Those were like 60-40. 60-40 and chewy somehow, not tender.
They tasted good though.
They were. With A1 sauce.
Here's the story I want you to tell. So we're eating. I don't know we're eating at some time, and I don't know what occasion, because Luke and I normally didn't eat together very often, because when I would go grab somebody to eat, he would have to be in the room.
Let's tell how I would fetch you guys chow, because you guys were doing serious stuff, and I was like.
But you didn't do it very often, so don't make it sound like you did it a lot.
He got me chow all the time. Because I couldn't leave, so he'd be like, "I got you." He'd go hook me up.
Truth.
Unbelievable.
This is going to create a riot here.
Unbelievable.
On the air.
Yeah.
This is going to follow.
Here, Mac, here's some oatmeal packets. Oh, I don't want that. I'm going to have some club crackers. You might want to split the oatmeal, bro. Don't even go near that drawer.
Hey, I found some Swiss Miss. Going to make you some cocoa.
We're eating one night. Like I said, we're eating one night, and Luke starts talking about his dad eating.
Oh, yeah.
I might have reached over and, grabbed something off Luke's plate, or somebody did, and Luke got a serious look on his face, and he says, "You know, the McConnell family doesn't play that game."
We're battle buddies, so I'll let that fly once, but
So talk about, so you're a kid, your dad's having something, and you're like, "Hey, can I,
I think I asked, I would never, in a million, I'm the runt. My dad's still 6'4 or whatever it is, 250. And back then, I wouldn't even look at his food, much less. But I never in my life made an attempt to, touch anything on his plate or, that would have never in a million years have happened. But I might have asked once, and I just didn't get I got a stern look and no response, and I was just kind of like, I guess that will never happen again. And so
he's pretty. Your dad pretty serious about the consumption of food.
Yeah, pretty lighthearted about most things, but that was non-negotiable. That was not a table topic. Who portions? Who's belonged where and who got what?
The another issue that's come up. And I want to give you a chance to defend yourself. This is the whole small tires thing on your truck.
Shut up.
Right?
Shut up.
So you got this big, Ford 150. Yeah.
You don't have this stuff on a...
F-150, right?
Yeah. And Ford makes a great F-150 to have for many years.
Yeah, many years.
Especially the post-2009. I think a lot of the Ford guys will back me up on that.
Well, are you looking at Rudy?
When
he's
a car guy.
Only seen a Ford in pictures, okay? Actually, Rudy is. Rudy and our Artie guy, Buzz...
Oh.
They used to, get together.
Buzz,
so when there was a lull and stuff.
Buzz would bring up.
Yeah, Rudy
would. They'd be circling the wagons over there talking about Flowmaster mufflers and high-end.
And so, literally, I could reach my hand forward, and I could grab the collar of Rudy's blouse. And all of a sudden, Rudy's not too much going on. Rudy's not in his seat, and I look over, and he and Buzz are, huddled together, hey, and so I say, because I'm this way, what are you homos doing over there? I mean, now, first of all, there's nothing wrong with being a homo. It's just a figure of speech that I use. And, like, everybody's laughs a little bit. And then they go back to, like, talking real quietly and looking at pictures and, like, what? And then Buzz had a car that he's getting. Explain Buzz's car.
Buzz has a 1961 Corvette that was, at the time, it's still, it's being restored, actually, right now. But
the longest restoration.
Yeah, it's the longest restoration, I think, of all times. I should say all time. Yeah, that's been 8 years. But no, it's actually up at my friend's Thompson Speed Shop up in Portland, because I had to help Buzz coordinate getting it shipped up there because it need to get finished. But yeah, I've got a 60 and he's got
all
a 61.
The way in Portland.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't find it.
Not a trusted source.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah, so this is a very trusted
all
friend.
Of California.
Yeah.
Nobody does auto body work.
No. Nobody I would trust. So away it went to Portland. And I've got a 60 and he's got a 61, so we would often talk about what to buy and what not to do and that kind of stuff.
Why did you guys sit so close together? That was always what bothered me.
Well,
battle you.
Yeah.
Battle you?
I think
just luck.
It was just, we would lean in and just, it was
tactical
just,
decision.
Yeah, you don't want to, that's some intimate talk between what's going on with your car, what's going on my car. that's some private stuff. You don't want to be sharing that out loud too much.
No, you do not.
Evidently. Yeah. They're like, what's going on over there? And they would. They'd sit there and talk about cars, like car dork stuff.
Yeah.
Like, and so, anyway, so I would just
during
continue.
The planning process when MSTP and the folks at the Warfighting Lab were like, okay, here's the battle you. We got the fires guy and the era guy. Ah, you know what? Those guys,
yeah.
Guess what? They're going to be dorking around talking about cars, though.
Talking about cars.
Next
very
thing you
hushed
know.
Voices. But, no. So the, but I had another little explanation for you. So you explained your dad's, thing. You're a Giant fan, yeah?
Yep.
Not so.
Yep.
Are they going to?
They'll make a run.
What?
Oh, yeah.
My headset's messed up. I thought I just heard you say they'll make a run.
I say that every time this time of year. They'll
really?
Make a run. Yep.
It's an even year, too.
It is. They missed it last time, but this time
ooh.
They're doubling down. Time to double down.
Giants won consecutive, or kind of even year consecutive.
Yep.
That means there was a year apart between the two World Series championships. So that was a joke in 2016. Not a joke. They were serious. Hey, even year. Let's go, boys.
Yep. 10, 12,
so
14.
If they don't do it this year, then I think we could put the even year discussion away. Yeah.
We could probably.
Okay. Barry Bonds in the Hall of Fame?
Oh, loaded question.
Oh, it's easy. Hello? Yes or no?
That's a tough one. Probably not.
You think?
Yeah. That's tough.
How about Al Capone in the Vatican?
Oh, Jesus!
What are we talking?
Whoa.
You think Al Capone should be enshrined in the Vatican?
No, probably not.
Okay. All right. Just
wow.
You struggled so much with the Bonds question.
Yeah.
You know?
He brought a lot. I mean, it's yeah, everything, it goes against my core, but I rooted, first guy in the stands cheering if he was hitting one into the drink out there. Oh, my gosh.
What did you make of his physical transformation? Just a lot of hard work and commitment and dedication?
Well, we talked about my eating. And
so, yeah,
with a good diet, I imagine that those guys, with the amount of money they make, I would have not one chef, but two chefs dealing out the protein. The head, why is the head so big?
Yeah, how
I
did
mean,
that happen?
You know, hey. Our ears, it's scientific that our ears and our noses continue to grow.
Right. So you extrapolated that.
Yeah,
that maybe
just,
it's his whole head.
Yeah, it's just DNA. His head got bigger between the ages of 35 and 42.
And then shrunk
nobody
again
knows.
Afterwards.
Science. Nobody knows.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah.
Place that one in the time capsule of things to take a look at 20, 30
when
years
Martians
down the line.
Show up. Could you take a look at this? Like,
he was on narcotics. It's called steroids.
Really?
Yeah.
I just did my Baldar cone head.
No. You did that, and then I didn't call you on it, but you.
Whoa!
You said that I was trying to make a face like an osprey, and I was trying to think of what that would be if it was a
osprey,
like the bird,
yeah.
Or like the helicopter. the rotary wing fixed wing.
Well, yeah, but you were, because what
Osprey
you would
do, is in Minnesota as well, by the way.
What you would do is he would puff out his cheeks, and I don't really know what that was supposed to.
Taking a brace. Give yourself as many chins as you can.
Yeah, so I guess it was, how would you describe that face you just made?
It's a lot of tension, like squeezing.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of tension, that rotation of horizontal flight to, you know what I mean, to vert.
It's not natural.
No, it's not. It's so you're kind of, you're like straining.
Is this going to work? I don't know, and I'm moving up in the air.
No, I tell you what, I think it should be in the National Museum of the Marine Corps. Honestly, if you could see that video, it would be like one of the, like, and it's like I was talking earlier today, show.
You could
do all this great post-combat related mental health stuff. You could do battle studies. And people love it, and they obviously download it. But if you do stupid radio, and we were doing stupid radio yesterday, and what were we talking about?
Mule.
Oh, yeah, we were talking about Rudy's fascinated by how a mule gets created, and he can never really get it clear in his head, although he made a stride today when I said hybrid. And for whatever reason, hybrid resonated with him. So all of a sudden we're talking mules, donkeys, and horses, and you have people coming out of woodworks that want to participate. And you're just like, it's discouraging, right? It's like all this quality, and nobody, you know, I mean, some people email, but then all of a sudden there's an avalanche as soon as you start, like, talking ass clown stuff. So anyway. Oh, do you have any party more? Do you have any? Okay, let's do a little lightning round, okay, for both of you guys. The best book you've ever read that you would tell people to read?
I'm not going to say it. The one that's popping up, I like Endurance. I think Gunner, did Gunner say that one? He did. Endurance. It's about the, that crazy trip down to Antarctica in the 18s that went. It's a true story.
Mine's definitely John Wooden on Leadership.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep. Okay, favorite food.
Oh.
You can only say one thing, one dish, favorite food.
Cowboy cut ribeye, Ruth Chris.
That's strong. I'm a Chinese food guy. If I find a good Chinese restaurant, I would go Chinese.
No kidding. Gosh, are you making that up?
He is. He just wants attention. It's a cry for help.
Oh, my gosh.
Chinese food. He goes.
That was worth
the
trip, because there is no way in a million years I would have guessed
that. You say Ruth Chris, and he says that's a strong call.
Yeah.
Chinese,
I thought he was going to say.
Chinese food.
Yeah.
What did you just say? Okay.
You.
Me?
Yeah.
My favorite food? M&M's. Yeah.
All right.
If you want my, like, Mac, what have you, if
what
you
did
a statistical analysis of what, like, you know how, like, God has all your sins, and he'll, like, lay it out? Like, my vision on Judgment Day, like, when they, like, roll the scroll, and it hits the ground and, like, rolls down the hill a little bit, and then I say, oh, could we stop? And, first of all, could we get my mom out of here? She doesn't need to be here. Hello? Like, I know in heaven everybody knows everything, but, look, let's just a little respect, okay? Mom, you should go away. Really, this is gonna upset you. And then I'm gonna ask to make a statement before I'm judged. Hey, who developed the female frame and whole apparatus? If you'll indulge me, St. Peter, and I'll say, oh, that was Merle over there, Merle. I just want to tell you that was...
Tip of the cap.
Tip of the cap. quality job there, Merle. And then St. Peter, I devote a lot of time to looking at that thing, just so you know. And then St. Peter's going to say, oh, we know.
Yeah.
And
you're in the gray area, Mac. Tread lightly.
But
next topic.
But if they had a matrix instead of my sins of my food, M&M's would be, I think, the top food group.
Yeah.
Okay, favorite musical act. Only can pick one.
Oh. You know what? I'm an adrenaline guy.
This is
going to
be hard for Rudy.
This is going to be hard for Rudy.
Oh, no, it's easy.
Oh, it is easy for you? I just saw Metallica this past summer, and I'm fired up. I'm still fired up.
Van Halen with Sammy Hagar.
Ooh. little more harmony in that.
Springsteen. Yeah.
Seen Springsteen at Dodger Stadium. That was top tier.
Strong song. First time I ever saw him, 3.5 hours. At the end of it, you're like, okay, I got the memo. You're a tough guy.
Yeah.
We need to go home, though. This is like, too much, okay? It's too much.
He's the Lou Gehrig.
You delivered on all $80 for the ticket, okay? You can stop, please. Please! Okay, favorite sports team. And you can only pick one. So, in all, I don't even have to hand the mic to Rudy. I know what he's going to say, but we'll do it anyway. So, favorite sports team, you can only pick one.
Is it historical or just current? Like, who am I the biggest fan of?
Is that like a confusing question?
That's a little confusing.
Cumulative or individual? All-time favorite sports team?
Giants. San Francisco Giants.
The guy with the Seahawks. They've been good to me, and I'm loyal to the Seahawks.
It's a two-way street with the Seahawks. They've been good to me. They've been good to you.
I'm struggling because the 49ers have always been like one of my favorite teams. But I'm pissed at football because
in general,
they're going to play. They played last night, and we're still hearing about this national anthem bullshit. You know, $90 million later, the NFL why did you give $90 million if you weren't going to get a? What do you mean quid pro quo? Okay, you do get quid pro quo for $90 million, okay? If you don't get, then why are you giving the $90 million? So we'll fund all your social causes that you want. We'll help you do it. We'll expose it with the league. And you're going to keep kneeling? Wait a minute. It's just stupid. And that means I'm not going to get to watch. And that pisses me off because the 49ers are not going to suck this year. I just cannot believe that they cannot find some middle ground to use the power of the publicity machine that the NFL is to support their players and then all agree on, look, this is entertainment on Sunday. This is our brand. All right. No, employees do not come to work and walk out to the cash register and say, yeah, I hate XYZ candidate. You're not allowed to do that in any business. So why? So that's why I'm struggling with 49ers, so I'm going to say the New York Yankees. I loved them when I was a little kid, went away from them while my dad did his thing. Then I went back to them when I saw Derek Jeter make that flip and throw Jason Jambi out at the plate. I know that's a dagger through your heart there, Napa, man. Not the Giants, but it is the A's.
It's
I didn't mean to upset you.
That still is one of the most unbelievable anticipatory plays in sports history.
Because he's not supposed to be.
He's not supposed to be anywhere near.
And he's
that
all of 21 years old in 1996, so it's pretty amazing.
As difficult as it is to see the Kirk Gibson home run, and they've been looping that on Major League Baseball.
Why is that difficult? You hate the Dodgers. Oh, that's against the A's.
Yeah.
That is, I would say, that's the single most
unbelievable
thing
I've
ever seen. I just saw...
That one with Derek Jeter, though, more understated.
Right.
But...
No, the Kirk Gibson thing...
Doesn't make sense.
I just saw about a 30-minute program about it, and it talks about how hurt he was, and his discussion with Lasorda earlier, and then him sitting in the dugout. And Kirk Gibson, he's got Parkinson's now.
Yeah.
And he played, you know, wide receiver at
Michigan
State.
Tough guy.
And he was fired up in the
game. Blue
collar. And he heard Bob Costas do a report from just outside the dugout saying that there's no way Kirk Gibson will be able to do anything tonight. And it kind of pissed him off.
Yeah.
So he went up in the clubhouse and he started
whacking off the tee.
Hitting off the tee. And they tell the whole story. And you forget the pitch was, he was up there for, I want to say, about 14 or 15 pitches off Dennis Eckersley, who was lights out. And then he hits that home run. And it is, when
with
it comes off. Yeah,
he hits it with his wrist.
Yeah, when it comes off his bat, you look and you just say, there's no way.
You just see brake lights in the parking lot, and you're just like...
People swerving.
Are you kidding me with this?
Are
you kidding me with
this? And you guys are looking at their wives saying, you made me leave for that? And then, like, grown men crying. why are you here in couples therapy? I wanted to get out of Dodger Stadium early before the Kirk Gibson home run. So, Napa Man is a big fan of the show, and we also talk about him. We never really got an explanation about the small wheels on the truck. Clothes that your wife picked out for you in the picture where you're pointing at the tire.
I don't have a lot of clothes. just in general.
Are you, like, so fashion challenged that she has to tell you what to wear? Because Rudy picks out his own clothes. He looks pretty good all the time.
He's an aviator, yeah.
Well, it goes with that.
It's part of the game.
So are you? Does she pick out your clothes and say, yeah, that doesn't matter, go back up?
She rules by exception, so she doesn't pick them out, but she'll throw them away.
Oh.
Yeah.
How does she govern
the company? I love Aloha shirts. How many times have you seen me in Aloha shirt? I only own two. I used to own, like, in the 90s.
Wall to wall?
90% of my wardrobe was Aloha. Yeah, because they got authorized at TBS at some point. I was like, oh, yeah.
They have never been authorized at the basic school.
West Coast, maybe. Pendleton.
West Coast Basic School?
Okay. No.
Maybe.
I'm making acronyms up again. What was that?
He's fabricating things right now.
But I think in Torn on Palms, it was like, oh, yeah, you know, the base general wore an Aloha shirt to an O-call or a staff NCO an O-call, and then it was like, oh, and then every lieutenant on the base was like, Aloha shirt up, 1998 through whatever.
And you were wall-to-wall in your...
Wall-to-wall.
In your thing. All right. All right, that's it. First of all, thanks for showing up. Rudy, it's been great last couple of days, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me. It's been fun. It's been what an epic couple of days we've had together. So thank you, and it's great you've been able to take the show expeditionary. So hopefully this continues. This has been awesome.
Yep.
You know, we were talking a little bit ago about taking it to the Marine Corps Marathon, which is really the cultural big event in now on the Marine Corps calendar. The Marine Corps does a lot of stuff, but how cool it would be to tell the stories. And the Marathon is simply a forum for all kinds of great Marine Corps stuff. So
it's a heartbeat event, for sure.
So Napa Man?
Hey, thank you for having me on. I listen to this show as much as I can and really appreciate what you do. Not just the fun stuff, but the purpose and the mission behind it.
All right. Well, you guys are we're all friends, and the people you hear on All Marine Radio, we're all friends for a reason, and because everybody gets it, and it was I think we all say it and too much, and probably people get sick of hearing it say it, but the group that we were a part of was the single best group of officers and staff NCOs. It was like combat heaven. Like, I die in with combat heaven to serving with these guys, because they was just all good. And good is not even the right word. They were all exceptional, and it was just intoxicating to be around, and the way they sustained each other. And also, after, you know, we've come home, you know, we continue to sustain each other and our Marines, you know, that we know and care about. So no, it's awesome. So anyway, Napa Man, F-18 man. The names are changed to protect the innocent. So anyway, that'll do it on Friday. Want to thank, first of all, the gunner who spent the week with me and with us and for driving me across country. And or at least half the country. And my friends, you've met F-18 man, Kurt Knowles. You've met Napa man, but they're part of a group of just wonderful Marines, great Marines. And so, want to thank them for coming on and making the program fun and you getting a sense of what kind of people wear the uniform in this country. And kind of doubles down on, you know, something that I say that the more I get out, the more I meet people, I kind of marvel at what a genius I am. And that genius centers around the comment that what you see on the nightly news, that's not America. Those things might happen in America, but the America that we know is an awesome country made up of great people. And you get a chance to meet some of them. But great, 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 great stuff, and great to be around Camp Lejeune this week, and really proud of my friend Dave Furness, now the Commanding General of 2nd Marine Division, our former CO, Dave Furness, and what a wonderful time we've had being here. So with that said, don't touch that dial. Interesting program today, the chef talking about Mexican corn, and our discipline chef now. as he's lost 28 pounds in the last month. So, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday when we continue the expeditionary event up from Washington, D.C. and the Quantico area. I'm going to get a chance to meet Bob Nielsen, and I'm excited about that. So, have a great weekend on a Friday. All Marine Radio over and out.